come before you, and we thank you for this time that you've given us, Lord, to reference chapter 3 of Patrick's teaching and what you have shown me in your word in the scripture in reference to this assignment. So, Father, I ask for your blessing in it. We thank you for it, God. Anoint your word. Speak to us mightily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I titled this, Knowing What's Right, But Doing Wrong. And God led me to Genesis chapter 38. And what I want to do, it only take a couple minutes, I want to read the chapter. It came to pass at that time that Judah departed from his brothers and visited a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shuah. And he married her and went into her. So she conceived and bore a son, and he called his name Ur. She conceived again and bore a son, and she called his name Onan. And she conceived yet again and bore a son, and called his name Shelah. He was Chezib when she bore him. Then Judah took a wife for Ur, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord killed him. And Judah said to Onan, go into your brother's wife, marry her, and raise up an heir to your brother. But Onan knew that the heir would not be his, and it came to pass when he went into his brother's wife that he emitted on the ground, lest he should give an heir to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord, therefore God killed him also. Then Judah said to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remain a widow in your father's house till my son Shelah is grown. For he said, lest he also die like his brothers. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. Now in the process of time, the daughter of Shuah, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was comforted and went up to his sheep shearers at Timnah, he and his friend Hira the Adullamite. And it was told Tamar, saying, look, your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep. So she took off her widow's garments, covered herself with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in an open place, which was on the way to Timnah. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given him as wife. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a harlot, because she had covered her face. Then he turned to her by the way and said, please let me come into you. For he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. So she said, what will you give me, that you may come into me? And he said, I will send a young goat from the flock. So she said, will you give me a pledge till you send it? And he said, what pledge shall I give you? So she said, your signet and cord and your staff that is in your hand. Then he gave them to her and went into her, and she conceived by him. So she arose and went away, and laid aside her veil and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the young goat by the hand of his friend the Adullamite to receive his pledge from the woman's hand, but he did not find her. Then he asked the men of that place, saying, where is the harlot who was openly by the roadside? And they said, there was no harlot in this place. So he returned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. Also the men of the place said, there was no harlot in this place. Then Judah said, let her take them for herself, lest we be shamed. For I sent this young goat, and you have not found her. And it came to pass about 3 months after that Judah was told, saying, Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has played the harlot. Furthermore, she is with child by harlotry. Judah said, bring her out and let her be burned. And when she was brought out, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, by the man to whom these things belong, I am with child. And she said, please determine who these are, the signet and cord and staff. So Judah acknowledged him and said, she has been more righteous than I, because I did not give her Shelah, my son. And he never knew her again. Now it came to pass at the time for giving birth that, behold, twins were in her womb. And so it was when she was given birth that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took a scarlet thread and bound it on his hand, saying, this one came out first. Then it happened as he drew back his hand that his brother came out. And she said, how did you break through? This breach be upon you. Therefore his name was called Perez. Afterward his brother came out who had the scarlet thread on his hand, and his name was called Zerah. Now the lesson we see here is when we separate ourselves from the teaching of God's word, other believers, and from prayer, we're going to fall. We are going to walk right off the cliff. Backsliding is falling away from the Lord. It means you're not progressing in the things of God. You begin to slacken your attendance, and your heart gradually gets cold towards the Lord and the things of the Lord. Here Judah is in a heathen land, the city of Adullam, which is right around 13 miles southwest of Bethlehem, and he's going to get drawn into the world. The answer is really very simple. If you're on a diet, you don't go to the bakery to watch them bake and decorate cakes, right? Here we get a firsthand look at the worldliness of Judah. He sees a woman of Canaan, and he decides to marry her. You know, I'm amazed at how many Christians deceive themselves like Judah by marrying into the world, making choices apart from God, and then thinking they've made a good choice. Judah is marrying a heathen wife. First of all, not only was this forbidden by God, but Judah defied God, which resulted in him moving away from God. Here's what blows me away. Judah wouldn't think of a marriage between his sister and a heathen, but somehow this marriage, which is sin, is okay. I've seen it as the beginning of the pattern for divorce. Some Christians just don't seem to get it. The non-Christian will have an influence on the Christian and will always, always pull them down. The non-believer will always pull the believer down. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 and 15. Here Tamar is about 16 or 17 years old. She's with a man that wasn't right with God. So what does God do? God takes the man's life. God kills him. The truth of the matter is sometimes God has to take a person's life. I believe I've witnessed that even in my own family. People can be wicked. They can be out of God's incredible love. And God will intervene to save heartache. An example is Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira, who lied to the Holy Spirit and kept money back from the property they sold. And Peter nailed them, and both of them died on the spot. The custom of the day was to preserve the family and to keep the inheritance in the family. If the older brother died without having children, the responsibility of the next oldest brother would be to marry the widow and raise children for the deceased brother. So Onan marries Tamar with the understanding he was to raise up offspring for his brother. But even though he married Tamar for the purpose of giving her children, he wasn't going to fulfill his commitment to her. There are people like Onan who make commitments they never plan to keep. Vows are made before God that aren't taken seriously. It leaves God with no alternative but to bring judgment on them. Deuteronomy 23, verses 21 to 23. Here was a man who wanted his brother's inheritance for himself, but he wasn't willing to do what was right, to put his brother's interests ahead of his own. So the judgment of God came on him. Now, everybody's probably saying, man, don't marry Tamar, you'll die. Here's the deal. Judah was being deceptive. He wasn't being straightforward with Tamar. He places the blame on her and not on his sinful sons. You probably heard the saying, out of sight, out of mind. Well, Judah figures if he didn't see Tamar, he wouldn't be reminded of the obligation he had made to her. But instead of seeking God for the tragedy of the loss of his two sons and his wife, he decides to go and have a good time with his heathen friend when he should have gone to God. He knew what to do. He knew the right thing to do. Tamar, you got to admit, Tamar was a smart cookie. I mean, she knew Judah would have to pass by that place. So she decides to take matters into her own hands. Some believe she somehow knew there was a spiritual significance by being in this family, in Judah's family. Of course, we know that's a tribe David was through and Jesus came through. Besides that, she wanted to be a mother so bad, she was willing to receive a child through prostitution. She knew what was right, but she did what was wrong. You see, wanting a good thing, but going about it the wrong way. When we take matters into our own hands, we think we're going to help God out when all we're doing is complicating matters and making life more difficult. God wants us to see even God's people sin when we depart from him and his ways. God wants us to see that. Judah, like so many today, he was willing to give it all up for a few moments of pleasure. Threw it all out. He knew what he was doing was wrong. If only we would consider that sin does offer us pleasure, but it's only for a moment. Later comes the heartache and the drama. Why do we think in order to get the job done, we have to resort to the flesh? Man, if God needs our help, heaven is in deep trouble. You see what Judah does? He sentences Tamar with the most extreme form of penalty. Isn't it interesting that our sins can look so bad on other people, but with ourselves, we can tend to overlook them? I mean, does that mean Tamar was a good person? That she had her act together spiritually? No, it doesn't. It only means Judah was worse. Notice the grace of God. He had killed and taken two of the sons of Judah. Now God gives two more. The name Perez means a breach, a break, a breaking forth. Here's what's so amazing. Perez is included in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. I want to close with six lessons for application. First, one sin leads to another sin, but eventually, most sins will be exposed. Secondly, Judah's sin affected others. Third, giving in to temptation to sin will result in the consequences of sin. Always. Four, as bad as the sin is, we see God's grace displayed in the account. Fifth, we need to guard against presumption. Presumption, it means just because we know right from wrong doesn't guarantee we'll do what is right. Sixth, there is a challenge to those who are in despair. All throughout Scripture, you have people like Moses, his brother Aaron, King David, Peter, all the other disciples. They all fell. Every one of them fell. Here's the point. If you've fallen, you're always able to come back. Paul said in Romans 5:20, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more." I want to close with something D.L. Moody said, Dwight L. Moody. He said, "The law tells me how crooked I am. Grace comes along and straightens me out." I love that. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you for this time that you've given to us, Lord. We thank you for your word. And Father, I just pray. We know what's right. Deep inside, we know. But we do wrong. And we need to really stop and consider that this is before you, God. This is for before the creator of the universe. We need to really contemplate our moves and speak to you before we make them. We love you, God. Go before us and just bless the rest of our time now. In Jesus' name, amen.